The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the K4 Wins. Man, we got a lot going on with the NHL and NBA playoffs. The Maple Leafs, the Knights, the Avalanche, the Oilers, the Knicks all close out their series last night. Golden State could do it later on tonight as we broadcast the show here on May 2nd, 3 days shy of big old Cinco de Mayo coming up on Monday. The Cavs, Pacers, we get the Knicks and Celtics. No one giving either one of those series even a shot at going to six games. We'll talk to the pros here in just a second. We'll also get into some Kentucky Derby. This bad boy coming up here on Saturday. Cannot wait. Of course, we got a man down the lower right-hand corner, knows everything about horses. We're all about making money on the show. K4wins.com. Go to K4wins.com. Subscribe to the show. And of course, we're all about making some serious cash. And we had a really interesting conversation yesterday as we did the Starting Over show on ABC 3340, a local show here in Birmingham, about how to bet the Kentucky Derby. If you're one of those shy ones, we're going to help you make some serious cash coming up on Saturday as well. And before we do that, I want to introduce everybody. Kai Gregory has been doing that. He's been all over the place when it comes to gambling for years and years and years, a trusted source. And of course, you can see him on our television show as well, a guy who has gone 9-0 on a particular week. Speaking of 9-0, right below me, Kip Kiefer, who went 9-0, documented. We keep saying documented, and I say 9-0, people are like, come on. Just if you go to K4wins.com, just look at our plays. They're up. He went 9-0. I was so happy that day because that's one of those nights where it could just get you out of a hole in a big time hurry. You're playing with house money. So fantastic job. Kip Kiefer, the executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. Of course, right next to him is Case Kiefer. He is the chief editor for the Las Vegas Sun. Does fantastic work. A new papa looking pretty spry this morning here as we get ready for the K4 Win show.
It's only 8 o'clock where he is.
I know, right? Before we jump into the Lakers, I want to get your thoughts on them and what they need to do next year to be in championship shape. Let's get our numbers from last week. Kai Gregory, what we got?
Last week, 24-9.
Jeez.
Month of April, 85-51. Year to date, 399-207-4. So it's May 2nd. Isn't that right? And today we will have our 400th because we're not going to go over.
Yeah.
Our 400th win of the year out of just right over 600 bets.
We have a shot. At having a 1,000 win season. I don't know anyone's ever done that before. So good stuff. And that sounds ludicrous. It sounds ridiculous, but it's all documented. So check it out. We probably need to get on board with one of these Las Vegas competitions, their case, and start throwing our hat in for K4 wins because we're right there with everything. I do want to start down in the lower left-hand corner. I asked you before the show started, what was the price on the Lakers and Minnesota series going in? And I've had several people say, listen, we love the show, but we love when you guys talk about sports as well. What did the Lakers need to do in order to get into championship form? We'll start with Case. LeBron James, 40 years old. Everyone's like, it's time to let him go. Dude, he's 24-8-8. The guy is everything the Lakers need to be, and he's in the best shape of anybody on that basketball team. To get rid of him, I think, would be ludicrous. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I know this probably won't be popular because I think everyone loves to hate on the Lakers, especially wants to pile on them after exiting the playoffs. But I think this year is a huge win overall. They were favored to get out of this playoff series, and I did fall into the trap. I think, luckily, I didn't lay the minus. I think they were like minus 170 to minus 190 in the series. I ended up laying a game and a half at like plus 125, so I lost a little bit less. That had no chance to win. I just the team construction was just poor, and I don't blame the Lakers for that at all. They had like a one in a million chance to acquire one of the best players in the world. Midseason, that they go with Luka, and they just didn't have the right pieces to fit around him and LeBron this year. I do wonder, you know, not that I'm a doctor of the medicals, but I think there's got to be some regret that they rescinded the Mark Williams trade. It just on the surface, he's just the size, the athleticism. Like, I feel like he would have made a huge difference in the Wolves series, not to win, but at least that's a piece in the right direction. But obviously, of course, he failed the physical, a bunch of drama there. So they ended up shipping him back to Charlotte, getting Dalton Connect back. But that's the type of guy they need to get. I think in hindsight, I just can't believe I didn't see it. I feel like the Wolves were a terrible matchup for them with their size and the way they could kind of bully them in the inside. So, but I feel like you go into the offseason, even though LeBron's 41, I mean, you have two of the probably 15 best players in the world. And you didn't really have time to fix it during the season. You only had like, a week or so until the trade deadline when you got Luka. Like I said, that they tried with Mark Williams, it didn't happen. So I think if you're a Lakers fan right now, despite losing, I mean, you weren't going to the title this year anyway. I think with the draw, with what they got, you probably had some dreams of grandeur that you could get to the Western Conference final, but it wasn't like they were winning the title this year. I just think you'd be aggressive and adding to the margins and really, I think a lot different than Kai, but always said, I'm a huge LeBron fan. I think that he's unbelievable, especially his longevity with what he's done in the sport. But I think the one area where you can punch holes is it seems like, especially with the Lakers, he's had in the offseason a little too much input on some personnel things. It seems like a lot of the guys he's brought in just have not worked out. So I think you definitely bring LeBron back. There's no question about trading him. He's going to get the max on another 1-year deal. But I think maybe you don't answer his calls when he's calling about input with personnel. I think you let the basketball people get some big men, try to get some cheap shoot. I know it's impossible to get cheap shooters in the NBA now because of how much shooting is mean, but try to, pick up some guys that you think have some untapped potential in the shooting area. Get just some kind of size, and I think they're right in the mix next.
I know a lot of people thought that maybe Reeves is going to be that guy to fit. Now every team's got two superstars, so it's not quite enough. I thought Perks and Legs went after it this morning talking about J.J. Redick. I mean, some credit certainly has to go to him, but some badness has to come his way as well. This man, the NBA half court is boring as hell. I just can't do it, and the Lakers may be the best half court team. Kai, I don't know what that means, a lot of people are saying they just need to play faster. And LeBron doesn't seem like he's not lost any legs. And I know, and quite frankly, I'm so tired about hearing Luka Doncic and the fact that he's just a big fat slob.
That he's fat, yeah.
You got to be. I don't see it. I don't see. Now listen, could he be a better defender? Absolutely. But he's lights out, one of the best basketball players in the world. It's the reason why they made that trade, Kai. What do you think?
I think J.J. Redick's done a horrific job, honestly. I don't understand, and yeah, Tennessee fan and me talking about it, but Dalton Kennett coming back to that team and how good he was in the first 2 months of the season with playing time, and all they did was take his playing time away. The whole fourth quarter fiasco in game four where, they had the exact same people in the whole time for 12 minutes is just ridiculous. I mean, but let's, when everybody talks about LeBron and his longevity, all right, so let's talk about this longevity here. Let's talk about if I could get this to open correctly.
And by the way, I did hear this year he's had the lowest points per game since 2002-2003. He's averaging 24.6 points a game. He's going 24-8-8. He's facilitating.
2019, missed the playoffs. 2020, a championship. Only the Lakers count the bubble. No championships counted then. 21, eliminated first round. 22, missed the playoffs. 23, swept in the Western Conference Finals. 24 eliminated first round. 25 eliminated first round. Stop talking about it. Move on.
I still think the fact that he could go up to Cleveland, the fact that he could go to Cleveland and win them a championship. Now, obviously, they're making that look a little bit offish now because Cleveland's playing lights out right now. I still think Kip, I think is pretty amazing. The fact that he went up there, they hired him to do one thing, and he brought him home a trophy.
Yeah, well, and they've had a lot of adjustment years in between that championship and now to really stockpile their team, and they are playing terrific basketball. But one of the big, and I'm sure that the Dallas executives who made the decision to pull the trigger on this trade, one of their big complaints was Luka was continually out of shape. They blamed a lot of his injury problems. He had been missing an appalling amount of games over the last couple of years. That was one of the justifications, and I'm sure they're feeling vindicated here when J.J. Redick comes out and says, we've got to get in championship shape. I listened to the press conference highlights yesterday. He said, we're just not as well conditioned as a lot of these other teams. Minnesota was a lot more athletic than them. And then the other thing, the obvious thing, you guys have touched on it, you trade Anthony Davis and you don't have anybody suitable to go into that role. I know the game has changed a lot, but you still have to have the guy inside to control the boards and be an enforcer in there. You can't let a guy like Ant Edwards be able able to just penetrate and just blow right by your big, slow pivot men. Having a, you know, the trade for to ship Anthony Davis out, one of the premier big man defenders in the game. I don't think it's that hard in the postmortem to figure out why Minnesota won this series and winning a couple games in L.A., especially the way they handled them in that first game. We were at dinner and I kept looking up at the screen. And one time I told my son, Clayton, I said, hey, Minnesota's up by 28 points. It's the third quarter. How could this possibly happen? But the series played out that way. I don't know how much I buy into all the Lucas carry extra tonnage and is not in very good shape, but there's got to be something to it because he has had a lot of injury time. And, you know, I've recently lost 40 pounds and I'm an old sedentary individual. If Luka really wants to get into shape, I can send him the formula. It's easily attainable.
Yeah, Case, let's talk about some futures here. We have the Knicks and Celtics, Cavs, Pacers. No one's given any shot that those series are going to be good. We're going to get your thoughts on that. But Golden State can close out later on tonight. And all of a sudden we have Steph with a banged up thumb. That line was what, 5.5 or 6? 2 was 6.5. Has it changed a lot since his injury has been divulged?
Not really. I think the, I'm getting it up right now, but I think the implication was that, he was going to play, he was going to be fine. And yeah, we've actually seen, if anything, a little money on Golden State. There's some 5.5s now. I expect them to win tonight, but I would actually bet, Houston plus 5.5. It seems a little high to me. I don't know. I mean, Golden State does have the DNA and you do expect them to close it out, but I don't, I mean, just athletically, this has looked like a mismatch to, Houston's side to me. I'm riding. I think I even talked about it on the show. I bet Golden State for the series, Golden State minus 1.5 games and Golden State in 6. So I'm really, really hoping they pull it out tonight. But I did bet some Houston plus 5.5. So I could go 4-0 tonight if that plays out. But I think Golden State's got a good roll out here because I watching it, I think this series is way closer than I expected. I think Houston has the pieces. I expect another close game tonight.
You know, it's going to be an ugly series when you go to series prices and you see the Pacers minus 2.5 games with a line. There's not even a lineup on that. What series between the Cavs and Pacers and Knicks and Celtics, God, do you think is going to be the most competitive one? Is there any way that the Knicks and or the Pacers could win those series?
I like the way the Pacers are playing right
now. Yeah, especially at home.
Yeah, I mean, I really do. And you know, Jalen Brunson's going to be Jalen Brunson. I think he can keep that. I mean, I don't know that I'd take minus 2.5 with Boston. I can see Boston's got a ton of beat up people. I mean, I'm not going to touch that. You know, I'm going to go game to game with it, looking at that. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, though, the Western Conference, you could have a 6-7 second round matchup that nobody expected. Yep. 2 and 3 losing. But I'm with Case definitely on Houston tonight because Houston came out. When Houston wins, they win big. When Golden State wins, they've all been close games. And so, you know, you have to look at that going in because, I mean, that's crazy. The difference also, and I love Houston's, I can't remember the guy, long hair inside. I just love the way he plays defense and the way he runs the floor. And looking at the matchup, whether it's Houston or Golden State next round for Minnesota, I think will be much tougher for Minnesota if they play Houston versus if they play Golden State.
And by the way, that Pistons-Knicks series, man, the home team 1-5. I mean, we just don't see that. And Kip, you had that 9-0 night a couple of nights ago where you hit all your NBA plays. And I mean, you got to get a feel for a series a little bit. And of course, you went 4-0 also last night in hockey. You took all the favorites and all the favorites came in. But yeah, to have a 1-5 situation in any series is unbelievable. If you can steal one game, you kind of feel like you're ahead of the curve. But this series has been a little different.
Yeah, it has. And I still am outraged with all the replay and everything else. And we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. But that non-call in a critical game 4 in Detroit that, Hardaway Jr. should have gotten 3 free throws. And when the officials come out 5 minutes after the game and said, yeah, we looked at it now and we missed that call. Oh, well, sorry. That just changed the outcome of the whole game. game. Sorry, we messed that up. You know, in this era where all we see is the back of the heads and rear ends of officials huddling over the scorer's table trying to look at the monitor to fix all kinds of minutia things like, is there another 0.4 seconds that should be on the clock? Why do we have a replay system when the most critical calls in a game that determine the outcome are not reviewed or looked at? You've got a fourth official at every one of these games whose job is to be the monitor. There's a guy sitting there, a referee. If one of the other referees collapses, that guy goes into the game. So why can't that guy be designated to say, whoa, 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 hold on, before we resume here, we need to look at this non-call. It's just frustrating to me. Why do you live in a time of replay if you're going to make the most heinous omissions and mistakes when the game is on the line? It's just inexcusable.
K4wins.com. K4wins.com is the website. It's absolutely free. Our plays up every single day. Free plays, exclusive stuff. Check it out. Of course, a great article written about the Kentucky Derby from Kip Kiefer is also going to be up later on this afternoon. We'll get into the Derby here in just a second, as well as the NHL. Before we do that, though, I do want to go down to Case. And what are some of these series prices? We also, of course, have the Clips and Denver series, which is 3-3. I think a lot of us thought that was going to go seven. That's been a great series. Clips get done last night, win by six, and to get the push, or 6.5, depending on where you had it. But what are you looking future wise as far as the prices? Anything to look at right now and put some cash down for future stuff?
In NBA, yeah, I was on Clippers minus six last night. That was a hard push. Huge night overall, though. So I guess I can take one push. I guess to go back to you tie in with futures, the two matchups we know in your original point, asking if Boston, New York, or Cleveland, Indiana could be competitive. I think both could be competitive, but I'd be shocked if either of the favorites lost. I will say I've been the number one, I mean, for 2 years now. Last year, I said there's only one future needed. I had Boston every which way. I've been a huge Celtics guy. And this year, I said there's no way they're not coming out of the East. I would turn my concern up just a little tiny bit now against Cleveland, just because kind of what Kai said, I feel like there hasn't been a lot of talk about, is that they are really banged up. I mean, these guys are playing, but I actually, Drew Holiday missed a couple games, but like every one of their starters is dealing with something. And Cleveland kind of had that late season swoon, but now it seems like they're kind of right back on it. And of course, having home court advantage, I mean, all of a sudden to me, that seems like kind of a coin flip series. I still ultimately think Boston's top level is higher, but if they're as beaten up as they are right now going into that series for the first time, Boston's the only Eastern Conference team I have. I have the Boston, the Oklahoma City exacta that I gave out on the starting line at the beginning of the year. I'm just all Boston, and for the first time, I'm a little worried. So that series, I actually bet no futures on. Series price seemed about right. The spread, I wanted a little bit bigger. I did consider New York plus 2.5. I think you're kind of buying low on the Knicks since they looked they looked kind of rough in the Pistons series. But talent wise, I still think they can present the Celtics some problems, even though they didn't during the year. I think the Celtics swept the season series, but a lot were close. I did bet the Knicks plus 9 in game one. I think it's mostly 8.5, although you could still find 9 at some sports books. Like I said, I just think just a buy low. I mean, this was 7.5 all year when New York played at Boston. New York's healthier. Boston has all these guys beaten up. I thought 9 was a little much, so I played New York plus 9 in game one. Then the other series, I did bet a little bit of a future, kind of the different one that we were talking about, but I took Cleveland minus 2.5 plus 120. I agree that Indiana's been really good. I expect some close games. I expect them to win one game, but I mean, the Cavaliers for the year, I think, I just think there's a clear top three teams in the NBA. To me, it's 1 OKC, 2 Boston, 3 Cleveland, and then just a gap to everyone else. So I played Cleveland minus 2.5 plus 120.
Kai, best part of sports are game 7. We love those two words, game 7. We're going to have a Clips and, of course, a Nugget game coming up, game 7. Tell me what you're looking for in that particular ball game, and then any futures for you.
I just love the symbiotic there, because I was just getting ready to say when you came, we haven't even talked about the only game 7, you know, so far that's coming up tonight. I mean, are the Clippers going to shoot 51% from the floor again? Are the Nuggets going to have 14 turnovers that lead to 23 fast break points? I don't know. Jamal Murray, the way he's playing, he had a bad game. I think great coaching move. For the Clippers, changing out. I can't remember the guy's name. They put somebody else in starting. They put more pressure on. And I just think that the Denver Clippers matchup is, I thought it would go 7. I did take the Clippers plus 1.5 in this. So I've made money on it, obviously, which was good. I think it was a higher price to get that, but it was good. I've got to go with the Clippers, even though I think Denver's going to win the game. And I think the line, what's the line, Case?
Overnight, I have a Clippers series bet too, but I might be doubling down. Now there's some Clippers plus 1.5. Last night, the Clippers were the favorite. I don't see how you can't make the Clippers at least a short favorite here. So I would be Clippers or pass in this game.
Yeah. Kip, last night, your team, the Las Vegas Knights, they get it done. They close out their series as well to the Leafs, the Avalanche, and the Oilers. They all get it done in hockey. And of course, you went 4-0 last night at K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Let's move on to some hockey. Tell me your thoughts on some of the potential series coming up here next in the NHL. Kip?
Well, tonight you've got game 6, Winnipeg, St. Louis. Mm-hmm. That has been a home dominated series so far. Let's just say though, the two games in St. Louis, games 3 and 4, the Blues didn't just beat the Winnipeg Jets. They annihilated their ass in both of those games. They've got to win tonight to stay alive. There's a lot more pressure, but the two games in St. Louis weren't close. I'm going to be really surprised if the Blues don't, win that and have to go back to Winnipeg for a game 7 on home ice. The Jets have been good, but everybody's got to be scratching their head because this looked like the ultimate goaltender matchup, and Hellebuck has had some shaky games and given up some bad goals. He's one of the finalists for the Hart Trophy, which is the MVP of the whole league, and he has not been that solid in this series. So I really am not going to be surprised if the Blues pull a shocker and win the next two games. I really think they're a solid lock tonight just because the games have been so one-sided. And you remember Winnipeg got off to this unbelievable start this year. I think they went 15 or 16 games without losing. And then I started getting on the other side every time they went on the road, even against some lesser opponents. And it wasn't long before they had, 4 or 5 losses because you just can't continue to play at that pace. I think they're a really good team. I'm not convinced that they're even a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. I guess we'll find out if I'm right or wrong on that, but I'm leaning St. Louis the rest of that series. And then tomorrow night, we do have a game 7.
Yeah.
The Dallas Colorado series has been a Wild West shootout. It has been crazy. And the Avalanche have had two games at home where they've put up like 50 shots on goal and doubled or tripled the Dallas output.
If you don't like the NHL or you never bet on it, go watch that series and you'll become a believer, man. You'll start loving the NHL.
The Dallas Colorado series is crazy. And just the fluky things that happened in the playoff. I don't know if you guys were watching still late last night, but the outstanding McKinnon, their great player star for Colorado, scored the game winning goal. It had to have banked off 4 different people on the way to the net. I mean, hit a guy's skate, bounced up, hit a guy in the side, what came down, hit a guy in the knee and goes in the net. So as precision as hockey is, the Golden Knights, you mentioned last night in Minnesota, they had wide open nets 3 different times with 2 of their best players, Eichel twice and Thomas Hertl the other time. 2 of those times, the best players on the team completely fanned on shots with the puck lying there and the goalie out of position. That game could have been a 5-2 final, and the Golden Knights slid by holding on for dear life for a 1-goal win to get rid of pesky Minnesota. But the it's such a fine line in hockey that really makes these playoff games fascinating. As much as Colorado's dominated the last two games in Denver, I'm going to have to do a lot of soul searching to make a pick on tomorrow night's game 7, because I think it could go either way. Dallas has been really good playing at home. Colorado did win game 1 handily, so they've both gotten a win on enemy ice. But I'm leaning Dallas right now. I don't know what Case's opinion on that is, but I think this has been an unbelievable series, just like Edmonton and the Kings. The Kings eliminated last night by the Oilers after taking a 2-0 lead in the series. They lost the next 4 games. Edmonton switched goalies. They got the stiff Stuart Skinner out of there and went to, this guy sounds like he should be playing a cello, not in a professional sport. Talbot Pickard is their new goaltender, and he's won 4 in a row. The Kings now have lost to Edmonton 4 consecutive first round series in the NHL playoffs.
They hate that team. Case, final look at the NHL before we get into some horses. What you got?
You're opening up Pandora's box here, because I've loved the NHL playoffs have been incredible. I had strong opinions on the NBA, but honestly, I've been watching the NHL way more. Part that's because I have to work-wise. I've been covering the Golden Knights, but I have strong opinions everywhere. I guess I'll go rapid fire through the games. I guess Winnipeg, St. Louis tonight. I think I see it a little bit differently than Kip. I did when the lines first came out, I pounced actually at Winnipeg on a pick 'em price, but that was partly because Mark Scheifele, I believe their captain, probably their best facilitator, best playmaker. He exited game five with an injury, but I was kind of reading through the lines, those ribs. I thought that he gutted out and played, but he didn't even travel with the team. They're down three of their top four forwards now. Kyle Connor, their leading scorer, is still there. And I believe Gabe Vilardi came back, but he's not 100%. Nikolaj Ehlers isn't playing. So they're really beaten up now. I will say, I feel like the Jets, it's a total inverse of what during the season Hellebuck carried them all throughout the year. I do expect him to win the heart, although I don't think a goalie should win the heart. It was all goal play. Now this year in this series, I feel like they're kicking the Blues' ass skating-wise. Hellebuck just can't stop anything. I saw goals save above expected, which is probably the best goalie stat. He's three times worse than any other goalie in the playoffs this year. I mean, the Jets' chances just every game, I feel like, outnumber the Blues. They just cannot get a save for the life of them. I know everyone likes to call Hellebuck a choker, says he can't get it done in the playoffs. I still, in my mind, just feel like it's going to flip at some point. I mean, this guy's still the best goalie in the world. So with the injury stuff, I couldn't bet the Jets now, although I'm stuck on a bad number. But there's just no way. I can't lay minus 120 with the Blues, who I feel like just chances-wise and skating-wise, I feel like the Jets, even with the injuries, have way outplayed them this series. They just, the best goalie in the world has turned into the worst goalie in the world, mm-hmm. which I think goes back to a lesson we said going into the playoffs that I always harp on, is that it's so hard to figure out these goalies and who's going to be hot. It's just, it's voodoo, and it's so random, game by game, year by year. Maybe Hellebuck turns it around, because I do feel like the Jets are doing some good things. They just can't get the right goaltending. So that's what I think on this one. I didn't bet Colorado-Dallas game seven, but I think I'm leaning the opposite way of Kip. I made it Colorado minus 127. The best you could get is about minus 134, so no value there. Similar to the other series, I feel like Colorado, even though they did get a lot of bounces last night, make no mistake about, not even the McKinnon goal. I think their first two goals like hit off the boards. They got found ways to score. I just feel like that they've been a little bit of the better team. I do think the Robertson injury to Dallas has mattered. I have a Dallas series price, so I'm hoping the Stars get it done. I don't know why. I just like the Stars team a lot better too, but in my heart of hearts, I feel like it's going to be Colorado in that one. We already got a bunch of second round series, and I think I've placed a future on all of them. Carolina, Washington. I mean, Carolina is so much better in every way. This comes down to the numbers versus feel thing, and you know I'm always a numbers guy, and I just don't see how you can't have Carolina being higher than a minus 150 favorite here. But I get it. Everyone loves the Alex Ovechkin story. The Capitals seem like the team of destiny, and they did end up dispatching the Canadiens pretty easily. But I mean, Carolina's personnel is just so much better, and I feel like people are sleeping on this team. I had to fire on Carolina minus 150. That was kind of a bigger bet for me. And then on the other side, Florida Toronto should be a great series. I bet Toronto though, and I had someone, first person I talked to, so you really think the Maple Leafs are going to win this series? And this is I wouldn't say a pet peeve, but just like a passion point. I'm like, no, I don't really think they're going to win the series, but I make it like 56% Florida. And the price you're getting in sports books right now, I think Florida's like minus 185 or something. Yeah. You're getting like 63, 64%. I mean, there's like a 6 or 7% delta there, which is as big of an edge as you're ever going to find in a major professional sport. It feels like it sets up really well for Toronto. I mean, like I said, I think Florida has the best team. They have the best players, but they just looked so gangbusters. They looked so incredible against Tampa. Toronto did their usual routine where they nearly collapsed. Toronto doesn't have the depth of Florida, but their top two lines, I mean, they have just as much talent as Florida. I feel like they're one team that could really match up. Their goalie, Anthony Stolarz, has been significantly better than Bob Borowski as the year as a whole, if you think that's going to continue. So I know it's really, really hard to go against Florida right now, and I probably shouldn't because I don't have any futures on them. I also have futures on Florida, but I just feel like that's a little too high. Toronto has home ice. took some of the pressure is off Toronto now. Maybe they can play a little freer. I think it was big that you saw kind of their big guns show up last night. Matthews got the early goal. Nylander scored again, which, by the way, I don't know if you saw, but crazy story. He was almost scratched. If the NHL hadn't changed a rule, they accidentally put Alex Nylander, his brother, who's in the Toronto Marlies, the minor league game. Oh, they put him in the lineup. And if it was like 10 years ago, he would not have been eligible to play in the game. But the NHL had added some rule, I think, 10 years ago, that if the official notices the wrong guys in the lineup and comes to the team to confirm and they say no, he's allowed. So William Nylander almost scratched on his 29th birthday. Man. Wow. What a way that would have been to get to game seven. So I am on Toronto, that series. Vegas, Edmonton, the series I'll be covering. I can't wait. I think it's going to be great. I think numbers wise, it's hard not to make Vegas a favorite here, and they've matched up really well with Edmonton over the years. They have more depth. All that being said, I mean, the eye test, I don't know if you've watched any of these series. If you've watched how the Oilers are playing and how the Golden Knights are playing, I don't think anyone in the Golden world Knights. With no background in hockey would not say that the Golden Knights are going to beat this team. So I lean the Oilers ever so slightly. But again, the Golden Knights have matched up well with them, but the Oilers top end, it is going to be hard to match up with. I mean, they kind of have a different gear, and that's just what happens when you have two of the best players in the two, probably the two best players in the world, and Dreisaitl and McDavid. So numbers wise, this is where I might actually be breaking, because I would make Vegas a slight favorite, but I kind of feel like Edmonton gets it done this time around.
Let's go to the ponies. We got 20. I'm running on the 151st Derby, Kentucky Derby, Churchill Downs, a town that I lived in. And of course, I think, Kai, you've been to a Kentucky Derby, have you not?
No,
You need to go. No. you need to go. You need to go to one, because it's unbelievable.
I'd rather have greyhounds back.
I'm right with you there.
That may be happening.
I'm doing some serious lobbying with the new owners, so I'll keep you posted.
We'll see if that bunny rabbit runs again.
Hey, Tony, before we wrap it up with him with horse racing, one thing to look at for people that are listening and watching baseball. Everybody thinks, okay, these teams are great. 18 teams in Major League Baseball in their last 10 games are 5-5 or worse.
Wow. So
all these people betting huge favorites, you're getting killed right now, because that's why you got to pay attention and not bet huge favorites, because those guys going 5-5, you're down money. You're not winning. I mean, in the American League East, for instance, like the National League is just superior to the American League, in my opinion. But in the American League East, the Yankees 5-5 their last 10. Boston 5-5 their last 10. Toronto 3-7. The Rays 5-5, and Baltimore 3-7. And that's the AL East that everybody generally considers the best of the AL. So you don't have anybody in that that's better than 500 their last 10 games. So pay attention to that when you're gaming.
Bamford is back. It looks like it could be a sloppy track coming up on Saturday, May 3rd. Kip, give us your plays or your favorite horses and tell us how to play it.
Well, I mean, we talked about this on the starting lineup, and for casual fans, this has always been a problem in racing, you know, how to bet races. If you go up and just play a horse to win in the Kentucky Derby, a 20 horse field, if you go play the favorite Journalism tomorrow, that he's going to probably go off at 3-1 or somewhere in the 9-2 area, which would pay you $11 on a $2 bet. Pretty respectable, but favorites have not fared well in the last 4 or 5 years in the Derby. The last three winners have been 20-1 last year, 18-1 the year before, and 80-1 3 years ago when Rich Strike hit the jackpot. So, you know, it's these horses have never been this far. They've certainly never run in front of 175,000 screaming lunatics who have been drinking mint juleps since 11 o'clock in the morning when they break from the gate at 6 o'clock Eastern time. That they have never gone a mile and a quarter. It's the longest they've ever gone. They've never been in anything close to a 19 horse race. The average field size is more like 8 or 9 for the California horses, their premier prep races. Then that includes Journalism, the favorite. He has never faced more than 5 opponents in a single race. He's been in 5 and 6 horse fields. This is going to be a whole new ball game. And folks, you know, especially these guys in our sport that are obsessed with running times, it's a hell of a lot easier to put up a fast time when you don't have all kinds of traffic issues. If you're flying on the expressway at midnight and there's nobody in front of you, you're going to go a lot faster than you do in gridlock traffic. And people don't factor that. Some of these speed figure guys, that's all they go. Well, he doesn't have the figures to compete. I look for something in these horses, how they overcome adversity, how determined they are. Dan Fogelberg, in his great song Run for the Roses, he says, from sire to sire, it's born in the blood, the fire of a mare and the strength of a stud. It's breeding and it's training, and this is the line, it's something unknown that drives you and carries you home. I've seen that inclination in a horse named Sovereignty. He's trained by Bill Mott, one of the great trainers in the history of the game. Bill Mott is 72 years old. He was put in the Hall of Fame 11 years ago when he was 61, and he's still at the top of his game after being enshrined in the Hall of Fame more than a decade ago. He didn't used to concentrate on three-year-old races in the Derby. Sovereignty won the Fountain of Youth after a long layoff. He only ran second in the Florida Derby behind Tappan Street, who's now been scratched from the race, a Brad Cox horse, but he also didn't have his regular rider. Junior Alvarado had been injured 2 days before the Florida Derby. They brought in a replacement from New York, Manny Franco. The team is back together here. I just think Sovereignty has the right stuff. Bill Mott's only won one Kentucky Derby, but he didn't really win it. He had a horse named Country House who was 65-1, who was elevated to the win when they disqualified for the only time in Derby history, Maximum Security, by far the best three-year-old that year. He kind of, in a muddy situation, bore out a little bit in the stretch and caused some interference. But let me put it this way. I've been the head of racing organizations for a long time and had judges and stewards working for me. Those judges would have gotten a pink slip on Monday morning if I had been in charge of the Kentucky Racing Commission, because it's still an egregious foul call on the biggest stage that really took the best horse down when he did not interfere with anybody else that had a chance to win the race. So that's another subject. But Bill Mott has never had the experience in his illustrious career of seeing his horse cross the finish line first. I really like Sovereignty. He's the second horse now in the morning line. He's 5-1. I think he'll drift up to about 7 or 8-1. And I just like the heart of this horse. He just keeps coming. I think he'll get a good trip from post 18 and be able to kind of skirt around a lot of that traffic fighting for inside position. I really like him. And as far as what you play, the easiest bet for a casual fan is the Exacta. If you like my 18 horse or whoever you like, take that horse, pick four or five other logical contenders and play that number with the other horses you like in the second spot. Monty Ballard, one of our experts, of course, a longtime horse racing guy, likes to take then that other group and flip it around, play those five on top of your top selection, and play your top guy second. It's been a very effective way for him. That's the easiest way. If you get the first two finishers, if any of your numbers across the line, you're going to win. There's all kinds of bets, trifectas, superfectas. With the superfecta on a recent Derby paid $170,000 for a $1 bet. That's where the big money is. But for a casual fan, the Exacta is the way to go.
I had a friend of mine back in college, and I was going over to visit him, and I saw his roommate sitting there playing, I guess it was Atari. I don't even know what they were playing back in the late 80s, early 90s. And he's sitting there in his underwear, you know, at noon playing this video game. So I dropped my friend off and I come back the next day. And the next day I see him playing in his underwear again, like 11 o'clock in the morning. I come to pick up my friend the next day. Story goes, about 8 days in a row, every time I go over, his name was Spindler. I'll never forget it. He's sitting there playing video games. And I said, dude, what is up with your roommate? And he said, oh, he hit the pick six in Cincinnati down in Kentucky a couple of weeks ago and won $800,000. And I was like, well, what are you going to do with the money? He's like, I'm just quitting. I'm just doing nothing. So he basically played video games for about 4 years until he went through his 800 grand and had to go. Then he was 23 and had to go and yeah. But I remember thinking to myself, wow, 800 grand in horse racing. That's amazing. That's great stuff. So he played it his ass. I don't think he ever changed his shorts in 4.5 years. So
yeah, well, I thought you were going to tell me he lost his britches, but that's just the opposite.
No, And real quick, because I know a lot of people on the outside, and you mentioned the last three winners of the Kentucky Derby, at least 15 to one or higher. So that brings a lot of people to the table because I think, oh, long shots can win this race. Give me a couple of long shots, perhaps, that could pull something out, certainly depending on the sloppiness of the track and the fact you got 20 horses run.
Yeah, I like the 10 Grande for Todd Pletcher. He's just had three races, but he's gotten better every time. He's a really good sleeper. He's 20 to 1 in the morning line. The sentimental favorite is number 15, Render Judgment, who was owned actually by the late country music star.
You got a thumbs down over there, do you? Casey, you don't like
I just, the little handicapping I've done, I thought that he looked like a full fade to me. Sorry.
All right.
In Vegas, they put up a bunch of matchups, and I'm going to be betting against whoever Render Judgment is up against. I'll turn off now and see if Kip thinks that's a good idea. Yeah.
All right, Kip,
it's just the sentimental story, and there's always storylines in the Derby. That's what one of the reasons I'd like Bill Mott to finally, I think, is the first horse he's had that legitimately can win. But Render Judgment's getting a lot of people's attention because Toby Keith, the country music star, and the horse is 30 to 1. He's got no chance, but he's the sentimental favorite, I guess, of people betting the race with their heart and not their head, because Toby Keith absolutely loved horse racing, and his dream was to have a horse in the Kentucky Derby, and of course he came up a year short of seeing that happen. So that's kind of the heartstrings. But Grande, I think, has a legitimate chance to hit the board in this race, number 10. Another long shot that you might want to take a look at, and not really long, but Burnham Square is just a monster closer, can come from the clouds. He's number 9. I think he's going to go off at 12 to 15 to 1. I think he's got a legitimate chance to be on the board in the Derby as well.
All right. We're going to be switching it up next week. We're doing this because a lot of people love listening to the show. And obviously, we run this thing on Fridays. It goes on TKR. We run it back to back to back all days on Fridays and Saturdays. So you get a chance to be checking out all of our plays. K4wins.com. If you want to play the ponies, you can do that. K4wins.com. We'll have the plays up. And of course, you can also become a subscriber to that. A great article from Kip Kiefer is going to be up on that page a little bit later on today as well. So check that out. Our next show is going to be coming up Tuesday, 10 o'clock Central Time. You'll be able to hear it coming up right around 12 noon. We're also going to be going live with our shows coming up here in the next couple weeks. You can actually check out the show outside the podcast arena. Gentlemen, thank you so much. K4wins.com. We appreciate you. Let's all win some win.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.